Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm Bill Bartholomew. Today, welcoming in GOP candidate for Rhode Island General Treasurer James Lathrop for a conversation on his backstory. And really, I dig into some specific questions about current economic issues, whether you're talking economic development, bonding, and his overall vision for why Rhode Island's GOP hasn't had much success. Let's be honest about it. He gives a really interesting answer on that. And much more here on today's episode of the podcast. If you have a question that you'd like to have addressed to a candidate, send me an email, bill@ripodcast.com. You can also tweet at me at Bill Bartholomew. I'm going to begin reading your emails here on air and presenting some questions from listeners to candidates as we continue this full push into political season. There's no doubt about it that we're here now, and I'm super excited about it, right? I don't know about you. I love this stuff. It's, you know, I think it's really important. I think a lot of you think it's really important. And the more we can learn about the humans behind the campaigns, right? The individual that's running, and not only the public facing stuff that you get out of a news bite or some, you know, commercial on TV or radio, but detail oriented facts and opinions on specific issues, and also that human being, the backstory, where they come from, and their general view on how to manage the particular office that they're seeking. I think that's what we're going to keep focusing on in Bartholomew Town. That's what we've been doing since 2018, and that's the thing that I get a lot of great feedback from all of you on, and I continue to appreciate you spending time with me and with all of us here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast, Rhode Island's podcast of record. Remember, you can hear B-Town every Saturday on WPRO, 99.7 FM and AM 630, and of course, 99.7WPRO.com. That's at 3 o'clock every Saturday. In case you're in the car, you missed an episode, you don't want to pull up your phone, whatever, it's right there. Sometimes I throw exclusive content on as well, especially from like the reporting side. If I, you know, later in the week happen to be out and covering an event, I'll throw that into the mix. So it's a little different than the actual podcast that you're hearing right now across the podcast universe. And of course, if you want more Bartholomew Town, well, follow me on social media at Bill Bartholomew, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. And you can go ahead and join the Bartholomew Town Podcast Facebook group for daily digital content. I'm starting to get really excited about some of the video stuff I'm working on. It's a challenge. I'm not a video editor. Well, I guess I am, but I'm certainly not, like, you know, I'm not going to be editing any feature films anytime soon. We'll put it that way. But I am planning on rolling out some video stuff over the coming weeks that will be a little bit reporting, newsy, a little bit sort of infotainment oriented, and hopefully will give you a little bit more insight into what's going on in Rhode Island. That's the idea, especially in Rhode Island politics. Okay, so without further ado, my conversation with GOP candidate for General Treasurer, James Lathrop, here on Bartholomew Town. All right, so shifting now to the General Treasurer's race, which is something that we've seen, you know, the competitors, if you will, the candidates expand. We've got on the Democratic side, James Diosa, former mayor of Central Falls, and now I believe former Commerce Secretary Stefan Pryor. I don't know exactly how this times out with his departure, but on the Democratic side. But then over on the Republican side, James Lathrop joins us today. So good morning. So let's get right into some issues here, because, you know, there's so much going on economic development wise. And of course, with the Pawtucket Tidewater Stadium, that comes to mind first and foremost. There's, of course, the results of the Providence bond issue. We've got the Superman project. These aren't necessarily under the auspices immediately of the treasurer, but it can sort of inform people as to where you stand on, you know, public-private partnerships and spending as a whole. So let's start with Tidewater Landing. The the notion of expanding the TIF, the notion of perhaps new public dollars going into that project, forming new public-private partnerships to essentially fundraise for the project. Where do you stand on all of that and projects of that sort?
Well, I believe in public and private partnerships. I think those are great concepts. It's something I've done in the past. However, Tidewater and some of them is, I don't think the state is getting enough return on their investment. They need to actually have some stake in the properties and stake in the success of the operation. In Portsmouth, we had a campground, which was not performing well. We created a public-private partnership, but not only did we get a certain annual payment, but we also got a percentage of the revenues. So as they succeeded, we succeeded. And I think that needs to be more in these type of agreements with Tidewater and Superman Building. You know, if they make a lot of money and part of it was because the state funded it, there should be some sharing opportunities for the state in it. And that's what I believe.
Yeah, their argument is going to be, well, the TIF is, or any, you could even go outside of the TIF, the new revenue that's coming into, whether it be through the formation of businesses and the taxation there, or just the dollars that get poured into the surrounding area, that comes back to the state. But you think it should just be literally like, hey, look, we're partners in this venture and we should get a chunk of that partnership, the revenue from that partnership.
Exactly. When I hear the developer talking about rising prices and costs, I agree. They are there. However, on the other side, he should be looking at increased revenue. There's housing as part of this. There's rentals. All those markets also, those costs are going up for the small businesses or the homeowners. So they're going to have additional revenue. So again, if you want an additional $30 million, it's not just about that taxes and the community because they come from the whole state. They're not just coming from Pawtucket. If Pawtucket said, we're the ones who are giving them the money, I understand they should keep it all. But this is a statewide project. And how does, you know, Burleyville or Westerly or Richmond, you know, benefit from this? So that's what is really my biggest argument.
Last Tuesday, voters, about 16 of them, approved a bond that would, you know, it's about $500 million. It plays the stock market and it's hoping for fabulous returns in order to sort of stave off potentially bankruptcy or the collapse of the Providence pension system. You had some interesting comments in the Boston Globe as to why you weren't particularly in favor of such an approach. It seems like anyone with fiscally sound policies first would look at that and go, boy, that's, you're asking for a pretty substantial return on investment. At the same time, short of selling off the water supply, what could Providence do? And as treasurer, what would your advice be to a Providence, or, you know, there's other municipalities that may be on the brink as well. What would your advice be to them to handle these matters?
One, I think politicians have a tough time making hard decisions because they're always considering my next campaign. You know, that's what's unique about me. I'm here. I have no aspirations for any other type of political. I'm not running for Congress or governor. The Providence bond was just bad, you know, and it's not just, and it's how you present information. So I went back to the Providence actuarial studies on their bonds. In 2020, their pension fund lost 1.4%. 2020, when the markets were great, they lost money. And now these same people we expect to make, you know, 9% and 10% returns in a market that is probably going to be pretty flat for the next 3 to 5 years. This was really, I believe, a push by the union. They wanted to get funds into that pension fund. So when Providence files bankruptcy, and I am predicting that they will file bankruptcy, those funds are protected, and it's really on Providence. It's tough to make tough decisions, and it's hard to not please everybody. It's like, you know, if when my daughter was young and she came to me for something and money was tight, it's hard to say no, because you do, you know, appreciate them. We do appreciate what the fire does in Providence and the police. They have jobs that I would never want, as well as all the other municipal workers. So we want to protect them, but not in a way that's going to destroy them. And that's my feelings.
Would it be suspension of COLA increases? Would it be, you know, just overall saying COLA, renegotiating?
I think it's some of that, but also, while they don't need to sell the water department, what other assets do they have? Here in North Kingstown, I'm the finance director. I just had a meeting this morning to talk about properties that we've taken in tax sale that we're going to start, see if we can get on the November ballot that we can sell them. We need permission to sell these type of properties. And a lot of them are small pieces of land that we're going to, you know, contact the abutting owner. Do you want this little strip of land to add to your property? One, it eliminates some of the accounting, but it may generate a little bit of revenue. I always believe government looks too much on what they spend and not as much what they take in. If you improve revenues, you have the ability to spend more without affecting the taxpayer. Here in North Kingstown, we've increased the collection rate from 96.5 to almost 98 and change, which means that's how much taxes we actually collect compared to what we bill and what we can account for. You say that doesn't sound like a lot, but in our case, that's almost $1 million. There's different avenues to collect revenue. And I think as treasurer, that's something I'm going to look at really strongly, is who owes the state money and how can we get those payments in? I know the Department of Revenue is, you know, stretched, and they do the collection part of taxes, but there's a lot of fines and fees out there that we need to go get that money so we don't have to have the taxpayers pay for it.
Yeah, even just the individuals, when you look at that top 10 list that comes out in the Providence Journal every year, yeah, there's millions of dollars in unpaid taxes that are just sitting right there.
Yeah, I mean, we here in North Kingstown and in other communities, a lot of times we hire lawyers to chase that money. And while they do a good job, they like the big ticket items. Mm-hmm. We've moved to a collection agency. I hate to say they're much more aggressive, and I've got a lot of negative feedback from the people that they've reached out to. But if you owe $500 or $1,000, I'm going to get it. You know, East Providence was one of the first communities, and we filed suit. We're participating in the income tax offset program. If you have a tax refund from the state of Rhode Island and you owe North Kingstown money, they are not going to send you that refund. They're going to send it to us. Again, it's hard for a politician to do something like that because you've upset somebody and you want their vote next time. Again, I'm just here to be treasurer. And once I do my term, hopefully if I get elected and do a second term, I'm done. And I want to be able to make those decisions that are best for the state.
Yeah, it's a different approach for sure. And I think there'd be some people to say, oh man, we're going through this moment of inflation. There's the housing crisis. There's a lot of reasons why someone might not be able to pay their $500 back taxes. But, you know, how would you straddle that empathy and understanding with that sort of approach to say, hey, look, the collection agency is either coming or we're going to hold payment or divert payment from another tax refund of some sort?
I've always asked people to be honest with me. I try to be honest. I'm pretty transparent. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. But if you came and said, I owe $500 and here's what I can pay. I can pay you $25 a month. I'm okay with that. Mm. I'm not about, you know, hurting an individual. It's just you have a responsibility. And we do that on occasions for different individuals. Sometimes, you know, especially with COVID, we stop collections. Yeah. Sometimes people have different health issues. Again, we're not here to hurt anybody, but those that can pay should pay.
School bonds and education infrastructure. Right now, I was just in Pawtucket last week and talking to some students and teachers and even municipal leaders who were saying, hey, look, we're going to need a new school. But let's just get it over with. We need a facility. We can get rid of Tolman. We can get rid of Shea. We saw what happened in East Providence. That's an immaculate facility. But then compare that. There's not a lot of equity in facilities around the state, to say at the very least. So as treasurer, what would your position be on school bonding and developing the physical infrastructure for learning in this state, both in terms of, you know, high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, but also at the university level?
So I think most of the bonding for those things go through IBEC. It's an agency within, yes, the state. And you have to do that in order to get your housing aid, which is your share of reimbursements. One, I think the housing aid calculations need to be different. You know, Providence, I think it's 90% reimbursed. North Kingstown gets 35% reimbursement rates. So we need to look at how those reimbursement rates look and how housing aid is done. Right now, a town could borrow $50 million, and if they're in a 40% reimbursement rate, they don't get 40% from the state. They get 40% of their payments moving forward, which means the town has to borrow $50 million. The state probably is paying as you go. If we could just get the 35% or 40% up front, and that means I only have to borrow $30 million, I think it makes it more palatable to the taxpayers who are voting on these bonds at a local level. I used to work in Connecticut. I was the finance director for the city of New London. That's how their Connecticut did it, is you go build the building, and we then just give you whatever your housing rate is so that you don't need to bond it. Mm-hmm. You know, the state has started this program in this pay-go. It's very limited on some projects, but I think we need to go more in that direction so that we can lower the borrowing costs for these communities so that they can build these schools. And we need to change how the housing aid works so that we can create some more equity within the communities here in the state.
What's your backstory? Where are you, a native Rhode Islander? And how did you, if not, how did you get here?
So I'm not a native Rhode Islander. I grew up in Connecticut, in a little community called Basra. I went to Bryant University. So that was my first real exposure to Rhode Island. I had some friends and who really showed me the state. And then later in life, I married a Rhode Island girl. And that was the deal. If she was going to say yes, we had to make sure that she stayed in Rhode Island. She'd been here for multiple generations. And I love Rhode Island. I've been here now a little over 20 years. My daughter went to school here in Rhode Island. She's now in Philadelphia. She's does social work down there. I got into government by accident, to be honest. I was in private practice. I owned some businesses and had a daughter I had custody of. And I had an opportunity to sell some things and I took some time off. And then I saw Hopkinton, Rhode Island was looking for a finance director. And I applied and believe it or not, they actually hired me. And through the process, I basically eliminated my job. It was a full-time job. I said, look, you don't need me full-time. We went to a part-time model. And I think that's what a leader needs to do. Sometimes you need to make decisions that aren't for your best interest. Here I had a full-time job and I'm telling the town, you don't need to pay me and you don't need to have this position full-time. You know, 3 days a week is sufficient. And I got a lot of questions on why would you recommend that? You're eliminating your position. I said, my job is to do what's best for the community. End of story. And if it means some sacrifice on me, so be it. So that's, you know, I like to sail. I see you're in a band. I've just started banjo lessons.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
In February, my wife gave me a banjo for Christmas. I've always talked about wanting to learn. And actually, I put a little video up if any of you go to my accounts. Social media accounts, you can check it out. I'm a normal guy, you know. I mow the lawn. I like to garden. I like to have an occasional beer or two, but I'm a finance guy. I've been doing this from on the private side for a long time, for about 20 years, and then on the public side now. I've been in a couple communities, and every community I think I've made better. Portsmouth, we were the second community to get AAA rating in Rhode Island. That's my job, make the community better and to service them so that the fire, the police, the public works have the resources that they need to do their job.
What do you think it is that in Rhode Island, of course, there's been two GOP governors in the last, I don't know, reason, I guess 25 years in Carcieri and Almond. But by and large, the GOP has not performed very well at all here in Rhode Island. I mean, if you're being honest about it, what do you think it is that's holding back the Republican Party from connecting with independent voters?
Honestly, I think they're a little too extreme at times. You know, that's one of the things I've come out against assault weapons, and I got a lot of pushback against various Republicans. But again, you're going to get what I am. I'm not going to change my status on different things. I still believe in Second Amendment, but I was in the Army. I've handled assault weapons. That's how I paid for school, by joining the Army. No one needs an assault weapon. And you need to be a little bit more moderate to get that independent vote. And I, you know, I'm very conservative on finances. I always tell people I have a Republican brain and a Democratic heart. I also believe that we have a responsibility to individuals within our state to make sure that they have a life that's adequate, that they have proper housing, they have proper food, they have proper ability to educate their children. We need those, but we need to do it in a fiscally way, that conservative way, that does not impact all the other people.
I've asked this question of every Republican candidate, and similarly, I've started to ask Democratic candidates the opposite question in terms of President Biden. Would you accept President Trump's endorsement?
No. I think in the beginning, I was more of a Trump supporter, but I think over lately now, it's part of the problems when you talk about Republicans here in the state. It's an extreme version. And that it's about winning and not getting the job done. It's about having power, but not having responsibility. You know, I go back to the Marvel Comics thing, with great power comes great responsibility. And we need to think more that way, that if I'm elected, and I definitely think I'm the best candidate, I have a responsibility. I have an obligation to the people. Even though the treasurer doesn't have a lot of policy authority, I can manage the cash, and I can have a voice out there for financial literacy, how we invest our money. We should be investing more in our state, as opposed to investing in outside companies.
James Lathrop, running for treasurer here in Rhode Island. A pleasure to chat, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. And I'm going to plug my website, lathrop4ri.com. It has a bunch of information about me. And from there, you can reach out if anybody has any questions.
Every month here on Bartholomew Town, we go inside Rhode Island Public Health, presented by Commonwealth Care Alliance, delivering uncommon care to Rhode Islanders.